Finally, on the 15th of September, this long, incredible summer of international cricket has come to an end. And it was another brilliant and dramatic day. England thought the match was in the bag when Steve Smith departed for 23. But Matthew Wade had other ideas. The Aussie left-hander played a quite brilliant innings, hitting 117. And at one point, the crowd here at the Oval might have been getting just a bit nervy. But England held their nerve, took the remaining wickets and levelled the series. Australia have retained the urn, but the Ashes series finishes 2-2. Hello and welcome to this final Wisden Ashes Daily Show. I'm Taha Hashim and I'm joined by Phil Walker, Editor-in-Chief of Wisden Cricket Monthly. We're going to talk a bit about this match, but really it's time to reflect on this doozy of a summer and even hand out a few awards. Phil, how was the day to finish things off?
I was kind of nicely unflustered by the whole day. It didn't begin to bring that kind of jeopardy and drama that the rest of the series has offered. And it was quite a conventional finish, I thought, really. England did what they had to do. I thought they bowled pretty well. They caught their catches in the main. Australia were done after an hour or so, really. You know, 30 for 2 and then 60 for 3. And then dramatically, extraordinarily, Steve Smith bummed out for 23. I mean, the bloke's got to take a long, hard look at himself. So the game was done as a contest by lunchtime, or just after lunch, I felt. And despite Matt Wade's brilliance, and I think he does deserve a nod, he chanced his arm. He played brilliantly against the spinner in particular. He saw off that stunning spell from Archer late afternoon. I think a seven-over spell of sustained, short-pitched nastiness. He got through that. Deserved 100, shut a few people up as well because he struggled for three test matches after making those runs in the first test. But overall, it was a sweetly conventional day at the end of an absolute carnage of a topsy-turvy series.
I guess there's a few days in this series that it was always going to be quite hard to live up to.
Yeah, and it was funny last night. There were a lot of people saying I was at a do last night, and a lot of people were saying, well, you know, Australia are going to run them close and England need an extra 30 or 40 in the morning because it's going to be a real tight one. And I've seen some tweets from some grandees of the game saying that this was going to go right down to the wire. I have to say, having been here yesterday as well and seen Australia in the field, they looked shot. They looked shattered. And I think having not got the runs in the first innings that they'd have expected to, I felt that there was an inevitability about the way that this test match has played out after they conceded that first innings deficit. And for once, I've been broadly right on this one.
And we talked about this a couple of days ago, but 2-2, that I get the feeling that feels like the right result.
Well, it's so bizarre, isn't it? Because Australia, they take the plaudits and they get the photographs at the end and they get the champagne moment with their crowd of fanatics down at deep mid-wicket, which is all very lovely and fine. But a more confused and underwhelming post-match presentation you will struggle to see, and no one quite knew how to react. Ben Stokes famously, after Headingley, had said, if we don't regain the Ashes, then what's happened here is meaningless. So those words had been percolating around the last 4 days at the Oval, really. Yeah, it's 2-2. So England didn't win the World Cup final and won it, and drew the Ashes and lost it. So, I mean, there's cricket for you right there. It's eternally baffling, and long may it continue that way.
Well, let's move on to and have a discussion about the summer in general.
Did you want to add anything about today, though, Taha? Because perhaps you were watching it a little bit closer than I.
Well, I mean, I do agree with you in a sense that it was a strange day, and things have ended a bit, you know, in underwhelming fashion. But I mean, hats off to Matthew Wade. I thought there's been few times this summer where someone's come up against Jofra Archer, had the bouncer barrage and got through it, and he did it really well today. And it's rare that we've seen that this summer, and I think so, you know, he's got to get his plaudits.
At one point Stokes was fielding at backstop with three men out on the hook as well, so there was four men on the boundary. The only reason why he wasn't slightly to the leg side is that it would have been a no ball with three men behind square. It had reached that point. It was almost the silly season by that stage. There was no slit, one gully, four men out on the hook, and Archer bowling terrifying bullets at Wade. It reached that stage where it was all going slightly eccentric, But he got through it, as you say, he got through it, and he deserves the props at the end of the series.
And he should take, plenty of joy in the fact that Archer was forced to stare him down.
Yeah.
Usually Archer, he doesn't need to get to that stage because he's got the guy out. The guy's already walking back to the changing room.
He doesn't need to do that. I'd just like to add, just on today, Joe Root's had a tough few weeks in charge of this team. His batting is clearly in a state of flux. I don't think there's any question of that. He's got a few good nuts as well, in fairness, but he'll be looking at that. But it was good to see today that he came on. His criminally underrated off breaks did the job. He got rid of Wade. Wade ran past one after he'd made his 100, and he took two catches in two balls as well to finish it off. Brilliant delivery, incidentally, by Leach to get rid of Labuschagne earlier in the piece. And Broad as well had his say. So it was a nice end point for a handful of this team. Broad's had an outstanding series. Leach has threatened and done well, and it was nice that he had the final say. And it was good for Root to effect four dismissals, and just to give him a bit of a fillip as he moves into the autumn.
Yeah, and that was a pretty special catch to bring it all to an end.
It was, one hand diving at mid wicket, left hander. There's been some good catches in this Test match. Some really, really good catches in.
We'll move on to that. So
are we going to do these awards then?
Yeah, let's do a few awards.
Let's do them. So what are we calling this? The Wisden Series to End All, or Summer to End All Summer Awards?
That really rolls off the tongue, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should have planned that one beforehand.
All right, let's start off with a series that has some great fast bowling. Let's start. Well, not just fast bowling. I mean, Nathan Lyon had his moments. Jack Leach had his moments. Joe Root had his moments. But let's go with best spell.
The best spell. Okay, well, obviously we have vaguely planned this. We're not just doing this completely off the cuff, although it might not come across like that. For me, the standout spell, with an honorary mention, of course, to Archer, the defining spell of the summer was Pat Cummins in the second innings at Old Trafford. England were, of course, up against it, but they had a day and a half hour to bat. They would have fancied getting through, and they, as it turned out, they did get very close. They got to within 14 overs of getting that one done. But Pat Cummins on the fourth evening and then on the fifth morning was utterly sensational. He took 4 for 43 in all from 24 overs. England, you'll remember, were 0 for 2 in 5 balls, and he'd got rid of Burns and perhaps the ball of the summer, that kind of late jagging Jaffa to clip Joe Root's off stump. Then he came back the following morning and got rid of Roy, clean bowled Roy. Admittedly, a few people have been candidates for that this summer. And then nicked off Stokes as well. Stokes would have been the key man, of course, in that rear guard. Nicked him off for one, inside edge. Stokes walks off. No one was even sure if he was out, but he walks because that's the kind of character that he is. And Cummins, who is without doubt the standout bowler in world cricket at the minute, had his definitive moment in the series. You?
I can't look past the Archer spell at Lord's.
Well, you were there for that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. And it was unlike anything I've ever seen before.
And it was unlike anything that anyone had seen from an England bowler.
Yeah, I mean, of course there was the ball that got Smith down, but there was so much more to it beforehand because it was building up. You could see it happening, and it was just, you were shocked by the fact that it was Smith who had the answers to everything, and then subsequently had the answers to everything when he came back.
Yeah.
But for just that one afternoon in this series, he looked...
Smith had been hit three times in his Test career before that spell. He was hit twice in 10 minutes against Jofra Archer.
Yeah.
On debut as well. Got to be remembered that. People were getting their hyperbole shots in as best as possible, but there was some very sensible, gnarled old pros saying, we are witnessing already the emergence of the most important fast bowler of his generation.
Yeah,
he's since taken 2 6-fers, took 5 at Lord's. He got player of the match here at the Oval, so he saw off his summer of summers with a gong to complete it all. We are living in the midst of a phenomenon here.
Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah,
because there's quite a few to go through. Best shot
for me, Ben Stokes' pull shot off the front foot to a good length ball bowled by Josh Hazlewood during that freakish finale at Leeds. I think he took 18 or 19 off him in that particular over. I think he certainly hit three sixes in that over. But that was my favourite one because that was the purest. There was some freak shots, of course. There was the reverse sweep over, extra cover or cover point. There was the lap for six. The ramp for six. There was a couple of pull shots. There was a couple of skewed shots down the ground by sheer force of will. Managed to clear long off. But the purest shot was that one for me. It was absolutely stunning. The balance, the audacity, and the cleanness of the strike. That's the shot that really stands out for me. That's the shot where when I see it back on TV, I still am open-mouthed by its brilliance.
I'll go to the same innings, and it's the shot where he gets under the full toss.
Right,
and sort of
and
gets
sweeps it.
Yeah, and it's. I think it was off Pat Cummins, and he gets it over deep square. And I just thought he had no right to get under it.
Yeah.
And also, once he got under it, he had no right to send it way over the boundary. He should have been caught on the boundary or something like that. I just thought, when he hit that, I was like, there's no way this clears the fence. But it was one of those innings, one of those days where it was Stokes.
Yep, I like that. I like that a lot. Just another one, the top of my head, when Smith came back out to bat at Lord's. He should never have been anywhere near that cricket pitch, as we well know. But he came out, back out, and second ball just clubbed it over mid-wicket. I think one bounce four. It was the work of an addled mind, in truth, but it was also hilariously gripping to see it happen. You know, it's almost sort of morally ambiguous to talk about it, but it's a shot that stays in the mind as the work of someone who can do anything, even when he's seeing butterflies at best. To pick out any more of Smith, you know, have some fun with it. The extra drive lying down when he fell flat on his face at Old Trafford, halfway to a double century, that's one of the shots of the series as well. For the kamikaze nonsense element of it, you know, the caper element of it. It's like a carry-on shot. So that will always stay with me as well. There's been a few good ones. Anyway, we've got lots to get through.
Now, I saw the best catch I've ever seen in my life at this ground earlier this summer, the Ben Stokes freak catch in the World Cup against South Africa.
Yeah.
But there's been a few good grabs this Ashes too. Your favourite catch?
My favourite catch is the Rory Burns one-hander that he took at Gully to get rid of Peter Siddle in the first innings here at the Oval. And crucially, the swagger off, the walk-off. Yeah. Knowing he was going to bat that evening, got to face his 20 minutes. And he properly strolled off, he bowled off. And it was glorious. It was a great catch. It was Stokesian, as in the 2015 catch at Trent Bridge to get rid of Voges. It wasn't quite as good as that, but it had the elements of it. It was low, it went quickly, skewed off a thick edge, and it was almost behind him when he took it an inch or two from the floor. Steve Smith also took a brilliant one in this test match as well. You know, diving at second slip, full length. There's been some real good ones. And as you say earlier, you know, Root's catch to finish the match and the series was another good one. There's been some real good ones this summer.
Yeah.
Yours?
Mine's Joe Denley at Lord's.
The Tim
Payne pool shot.
Yeah. And then the celebration where he throws it out the back of her hand.
It's like the most impressive, one of the most impressive throws after a catch that you've ever seen. I don't know where that ball's... ball's still in the air, apparently.
There's always that sense of sort of building some sort of narrative into things that don't really deserve it. And cricket writers and pundits are excellent at doing that. But there was a sense when Denley did that was his first real significant moment in the series.
Yeah.
And you saw the way that they all clubbed round him. And perhaps... that just gave him that little bit of a kick going into the second half of the summer, where, of course, he's played really well.
Yeah, half century in the next three test matches.
Yeah.
You're going to have to help me pronounce this again.
Right.
Most enjoyable...
Oh, the most enjoyable Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Freude award, yes. So taking pleasure in others' misfortunes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yours?
I'm not that type of guy. I mean,
So you just blanked this?
Yeah, I'm totally blanking this.
All right, fair enough.
It's a bit unfair, but I know you've got an answer, so go on.
Well, it's hard to look past Davey, isn't it? 90-odd runs, 91 runs, I think, in the series.
95
runs, sorry, I've shaved off five. it's hard not to raise a smile at his continued disintegration as an opening batsman, simply for the fact that when he's punished England in the past, he's done it so brutishly and brilliantly that his comeuppance gives me a kind of ugly, murky satisfaction. And I know it's demeaning of me, and I know it doesn't reflect well on me as a person, but I've found it difficult to resist. I also liked his reaction to it, this test match as well. I thought he was very possibly unlucky in the first innings. I mean, given not out on the pitch, overturned on the merest of evidence, really, flimsy evidence on the Snicko. But when he nicked off to Broad today to complete Broad's complete domination of him, seven times Broad's got him out in the series, he walked off with a wry smile on his face. And I like that kind of approach. I think if you're an opening batsman at any level anywhere, you have to be philosophical. And Davey's maybe learned a little bit of kind of philosophy over the last few months. He will be back. The thing is, he will be back.
He will
have the last laugh. Yeah. He was, before that day in Cape Town, he was the most complete opening batsman in world cricket, in test opening batsman in world cricket. There's no reason why he can't be that again. But have I found a kind of guilty pleasure in his tribulations? Yeah, I have. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I have. But you're just too smooth. You don't even have one. Well, all right, moving on. Okay. Next, Taha.
Your biggest gripe.
Well, what's yours?
Mine is, I know you're going to say the same thing, and it is the booing of Smith.
Right.
Actually, not just Smith, the booing of Smith, booing Warner, the booing of Cameron Bancroft. And I think it is worth adding today that Smith began the series with plenty of booze. He walked off today to a standing ovation.
Yeah, this is mine as well. And as you know, I talked about this at Edgbaston and got a bit of flack for it as well, because I think emotions were still pretty raw. But yeah, let's focus on how he finished the series. He walked off desolate, it seemed. He didn't acknowledge the crowd. His head was down. I mean, he is as pure a batsman as you can find, as pure a run maker as you can find. But the crowd, as one, got up right from the moment he was out. And it wasn't just for the good catch that Stokes took at leg slip. Good bit of captaincy, incidentally. It was for what Smith has done. And this is what happens in cricket. We can be quite a judgmental group, but we're also quite a forgiving group as well. And I think it's a mark of cricket's overall attitude that if you get your head down and if you perform and if you show a little bit of grace under pressure, as Smith has, and a lot of courage, then I think people will ultimately come round. It's been gratifying to see, just as ugly it was a few weeks ago.
Especially when it was things just saying mocking Smith's tears, you know, at the press conference and things like that. It was a bit. It got out of hand, in my opinion, and beyond silly.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Hopefully, all of that stuff is done and dusted, and we can move on.
Yeah. Next award. I mean, Phil, you know, you and I, we both like our style. You're wearing a really nice shirt today. I should have added.
Thanks, mate. All right.
Before.
All right. Steady. I know it's been a long summer.
most style award.
Most stylish. Well, I could talk for days on subjects like this in cricket. Mine is not stylish in and of itself. And if I were to see any other human being walking down the street with their woolly jumper wrapped around their waist, then I'd be tapping them on the shoulder. But when Jofra Archer does it while fielding on the 45 or at deep square leg, and he's just wrapped his long sleever round his waist, like he's just kind of, you know, going on a punt down Henley Way. And then you kind of factor in the fact that it's Jofra, the hottest cricketer in the world. that takes impudence and audacity to a different kind of level. So fashion as statement of character, you're going to struggle to top that.
Yes.
But go for it anyway.
You know what I've got to say? I'm a big.
Incidentally, Trevor Bailey's told him off for this, didn't he?
Did you
quite
see him,
right too?
Did you see him wearing it at the Oval?
No. It's been quite hot though.
Yeah, that's true too.
But yeah, Trev put him right on that one, which is the least.
Well, he's not coach anymore, so no, maybe next test.
He'll be going back. Anyway, yours.
Do you know what? I'm a big fan of Rory Burns' haircut.
Are you?
Yeah, I know. People really? Yeah,
it's been Glorious Bastards to me.
I really rate the sort of short on the sides, and then he takes the helmet off, and it's like, whoa.
And it's a bit floppy.
Yeah, what's happening there?
Yeah,
and
actually, it's like, okay.
I rate that, you know.
It's, okay.
He's always sharp.
Yes, he is, and he knows it, doesn't he? And
yeah,
you can see the more runs he gets, the sharper he feels. It's good to see. All right, I'll go with that. Any others?
I don't know. There's not too many style icons on that field beyond Jofra and.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is true. Okay.
Let's go breakout star of the summer.
Marnus Labuschagne. I
think it's hard to look past him, really, is it?
Yeah, and for the crazy way that it all happened. You know, he turned up at Lourdes on that Sunday morning thinking, all right, you know, I'll get a few energy drinks going and have a nice slap-up lunch. Maybe a bit of gym action, maybe even a little snooze for half an hour. And then suddenly he's out there batting, trying to save a test match, getting clanged second ball, jumping up off the canvas, seeing stars, knuckling down and making a very, very important 50 to get his test career going. And then since then, he's been excellent. He's an excellent player and with a pleasing kind of approach to it. He's brilliant through mid-wicket. He's very strong through mid-wicket. He'll be kicking himself that he didn't make 100 because he had the opportunity to. Had the opportunity to in the first innings here. Made 48. But yeah, impressive. Impressive. And an interesting character as well. I mean, I personally haven't interviewed him, but John Liu did, who's a columnist with us and did a brilliant piece with him for The Independent a couple of months ago. He's an interesting cat and well worth following him, I think. They've got a good one at number three there.
Yeah, and the fact is that he is now Australia's number three. He came in for Smith and was obviously came in as Smith's concussion sub and yep. was in at number four, but that's a big position in Australian cricket.
Absolutely.
And he looks, you know, there's not that many batting spots in that lineup actually sealed.
Yeah.
But he looks nailed on for the
yep.
for the home summer there.
Yeah. 350 odd runs at 50, impressive, very impressive.
Yeah. Biggest turn up.
Well, I sort of flippantly thought Smith not making 100 here, but that's silly. The biggest turn-up, I think, overall for me, and this is just a personal view, has been just how brilliant Stuart Broad has been. And it demonstrates how the folly of ever questioning Stuart Broad as a Test match cricketer. I've done it once or twice before. Lots of far more established pundits than me have done exactly that. And he always has the last laugh. And he's bowled better in this summer than he has bowled for probably 3 or 4 years, I would say. The only thing he doesn't have is the away swinger to the right-hander consistently. That is still something that he's looking for. But against the lefties, he's been sensational. He's been marvellous. And he still has that kind of rage and that competitive instinct. Anderson's absence has required him to step up, and he's done it brilliantly. So in a way, for me, that's been the turn-up, that Broad has been so consistently good. And at his age, played 5 test matches in 6.5 weeks, and was brilliant again today with England. You know, got it going, knocked the first two off, and pretty much opened the door for England to go and win this game. He's been tireless, relentless, and brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't think it's silly to say that if, say, Anderson had been fit, you know, throughout the summer, and then Archer comes in, you're thinking, where might Broad fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because he was left out in the winter quite on a few occasions. But it kind of seems like he's entering like a new sort of stage in his career where he can kind of just, you know, like it would have been difficult to see a few more years a couple of months ago, but now it feels quite realistic, really.
Yeah, hopefully you're right. We shall have to see how that one plays out, but he's certainly laid down a marker for the next 6 to 12 months for his test match career. What about you?
Mine was the fact that Archer never actually got Smith out. yeah, you know?
Yeah, and no doubt this will be mentioned in 2 and a bit years when they meet up again down in Australia. And yeah. Smith, who said it, I think, going into Old Trafford,
yeah.
This will be said again and again and again. Brilliant point. Brilliant yeah. point. Still not actually got him out. Knocked yeah. him out. Not got him out.
Worst hot take?
That Jos Buttler isn't a test cricketer. I spoke about this last night with Yaz. It gets on my nerves. That's all I'm going to say. He is a class act in all formats and has proved it again, technically excellent in this test match. 2 important innings. That 47 was an important second innings. Contribution in the 70 in the first test, first innings was also excellent. His average won't reflect it, but he's come through a tricky little start, and he looks the part to me. I would bat him at 6, and I would bat him for the next 12, 15 test matches at number 6. And watch him roll.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair. I've got to add, well, it's not really a hot take, but I will say the selection of Craig Overton. Just the pure, in a way, randomness of it, in that I had completely forgotten the existence of Craig Overton. And then suddenly he was in an Ashes squad, and then suddenly he was in an Ashes lineup.
Yeah. That was an experiment that didn't work and brought into sharper focus with Sam Curran's predictable excellence in at the Oval. You know, there was very little difference in terms of the pitch between Old Trafford and the Oval. Sam Curran understands the game. That's how Michael Vaughan described him yesterday. Really good point. He understands the game, and I don't think people always necessarily recognise that when they're watching on, because they see him, he's 5'10", and he bowls 80 mile an hour sometimes, and, you know, waddles in a little bit and looks like a kid in a man's world sometimes and all of that, but he understands the game and the tempo of the game really intuitively well. Son of a former top-class, first-class cricketer. His brother, as we know, is an England cricketer. He's steeped in the game, and he's made a statement, I think, at the Oval here. I think he'll be a lot more involved over the next 12 months, and I think he should be, absolutely.
Cool. And our final award, your yes. favourite moment for this... This Ashes
favourite moment. Well, obviously, the moment is Stokes clattering it through the covers. It would be childish. So off piste, but relatedly, it's Jack Leach taking his teammates back out onto the pitch at 8 in the evening, a couple of drinks deep, and recreating that infamous run, that classic run, in that little drop into the onside. And then scuttling up to the non-striker's end, it kind of encapsulates the essential absurdity of cricket, that little moment. But also how well this lot do get on with it, with one another. The fact that Jack Leach can come in and be a kind of a key part of this lineup now, alongside Stokes, you know, yin and yang characters really. And it, that to me it's the perfect kind of vignette of that extraordinary partnership. You know, that's the kind of the nice little comic end point to sum it all up.
I can't look past Headingley either, to be honest. I watched the entirety of that last day with my best friend, who knows nothing about cricket. Mm-hmm. Has relentlessly made fun out of me while growing up because I take enjoyment in this game. And it was the first time he'd watched a game of cricket, because I was forcing him to watch it, because I had to watch it.
Yep.
And he was obsessed. And he was explaining to another friend later that evening the DRS system. And now he's been, you know, knows nothing about cricket, and he's been messaging me about the series, because once you watch that, you've got to see what happens afterwards, surely.
There's been a few converts on my side of the story as well. I got some text messages again today from people who wouldn't have gone anywhere near it in the past. So if there is a lasting effect of this carnage of a summer, it is that people have begun to come round to cricket's eternal nonsensical genius, and hopefully they'll hang around for a little bit longer.
Well, I think that's a nice way to wrap things up. It's quite wholesome.
I'm going home. I've had a long summer and I'm knackered. Cheers, Taha.
Well, of course, we don't just talk about cricket here.
Of course, we don't just talk about cricket. I know this one off by rote now. Go on.
We write about cricket too, every day on wisdom.com, and every month in the shape of Wisdom Cricket Monthly magazine. If you fancy giving the mag a go, you can get your first three copies, print or digital, for just £3. In fact, we'll only charge you £2.99 if you go paperless. To subscribe to the print version and get your first three copies for just £3, go to wisdomsubs.com and use the offer code W, all in caps, WCM3FOR319. To subscribe to the digital version and get your first three copies for just £2.99, go to pktmags.com/WCMpod. Thanks, everyone. Make sure to subscribe to the weekly podcast on Spotify, Acast, the podcast app. We're signing off from the Oval.